The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, the Memorial Day summer kickoff is on. Get massive savings all month long. And remember, it's backed by Morse. You can also save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. And there's also special financing available. See the dealer for details and visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. At Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, it's official. Summer's here and the savings are heating up. Brian Danahy, general manager at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, has the Memorial Day summer kickoff. Take advantage of holiday offers all month long, like 2018 XT5 crossovers, just $299, zero down. But that's not all. Get 0% financing 60 months on all new Cadillac models. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. Remember, that's EdMorseCadillacTampa.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Thursday, May 31st on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Ira is here. I am Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is with us, and this is a special, very special edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. We're taking a step away from the normal podcast of us bantering around on all things Bucks of the day. And we're pulling out something we recorded a couple of months ago, a little sit-down on Bucks history with Damar Dotson, the longest tenured Buccaneer. He got here in 2009. And of course, the conversation does roll into some current stuff on the Bucks a little bit. It was fun. I was glad to hear it again. I didn't even remember exactly everything we talked about. We talked so much with Dotson, and we'll have more from him later in the summer. But this segment is fun. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It's a little bit interesting, and we're glad to bring it to you here. Of course, the podcast, as you heard, is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. And I got to let you know, please, please text TAKEOVER to 345-345. Text TAKEOVER to 345-345. That goes to fanretreat.com. And Fan Retreat is then going to get back to you when all the information comes out about the great Fan Retreat Bourbon Street TAKEOVER for the opening day road trip with Bucks Uncensored, with Ira, with JoeBucksFan.com. It's all part of FanRetreat.com. Text TAKEOVER to 345-345. It's easy. Even if you're not sure you want to go, just text it over. You'll get some info. You can always unsubscribe later if you want to. And of course, FanRetreat.com is your home for everything associated with events. Your tickets. Great rates. Use your JoeBucksFan discount code for tickets. Travel, you can book your hotels, airfare, rent-a-cars, everything right there is at fanretreat.com. This is a great local Florida company, and we're proud to work with them. Now, without further wasting of time here, we're going to get to this interview. Ira's regular podcast will be back next week. We'll have plenty to talk about on our Tuesday and Thursday episodes. If you have not listened to some past episodes this month, there's a lot of great stuff this month. It's all at JoeBucksFan.com, or very easily you can find it iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, where Ira is back ranked on the top charts, top 50 podcasts in the nation, all genres, all themes, whatever. And subscribe at any one of those locations. You get a free alert when the podcast posts. And leave a review. We love it. Good, bad, whatever, funny. Go for it. We may even read it on the podcast. So here is Ira with Damar Dotson, me, and Lee DeKemper, and we'll see you live-ish, live, I guess, next week. All right, Ira, guest of honor is back again, Damar Dotson. We're recording this in February, so you're hearing it, but it's history questions with the longest tenured Buccaneer, Damar Dotson, so it's not going bad. None of this is going bad because none of it's about this year. So, Ira, fire away. I know you got some stuff there.
All right, Buck fans need to know that this man's been a Buccaneer since 2009. Not some of the guys that you've blocked for. Some of your thoughts on Josh Freeman, Glennon, Winston. Start with Freeman. What are your remembrances about him, that magical 2010 season that you guys won 10 games? And your hopes maybe
don't
that
forget
Freeman,
about Josh McCown now.
And don't forget about McCown. And your hopes that Freeman gets another shot in the NFL. What do you remember about Josh Freeman?
I mean, Josh had a big arm. Josh was a quarterback that can get the ball downfield. You know, Joshua was a prototype, like, NFL quarterback that should have been a franchise guy. And it's just unfortunate that the situation that went along with Josh that, I know, eventually, you know, drove him out the league. But, you know, you hear all kind of stories about, you know, Josh what. Josh did this. He wasn't this type of person. And, you know, all kind of stuff. But Josh was a guy that could play. And sometimes, fortunately, the things that we do off the field affects us on the field. And that, I think that was more unfortunate by Josh, because he's a guy that should have been still here. He should have been a prototype quarterback. He should have been a 10-year guy easily.
Mike Glennon.
Mike was a guy that was a student of the game. Mike was a guy that Shiano loved him, Mike, because Mike comes early and he stays late. And I think with Josh Friedman, that's what, you know, Shiano didn't like much about him, because he wasn't a guy that wouldn't come early and stay late. But, you know, Mike Glennon was that kind of guy, good football player, smart on the field, made the right throw. He didn't try to force anything too much, so he wasn't a guy that had a whole lot of interceptions. He got the ball out quick. That's one thing I love about playing with blocking for Mike Glennon. He got the ball out real good in real good time. So.
And DeMar, when he transitioned and was the backup for Winston in Jameis's rookie year, he tried to help Winston as much as he could. He made a good transition there.
He's a pro. He's an ultimate pro. I mean, he was starting, went on the bench when McCown came in there. And then Winston's coming out, but the guy just stayed the ground. He stayed the course. He never pouted. Came to work every day. He treated everybody good. Didn't say anything bad in the media. Try to help Winston in any way that he could. And he waited for his opportunity. So he's open.
McCown's professionalism.
You can't say enough about Josh. You know, guy just come out there and just grit it up every day. Just the kind of guy, the kind of person he is, the way he treat people, you know, throughout the building, the way he treat the other players, you know, the way he prepared and practiced, the way he prepared and doing meetings. You know, the guy was an ultimate pro, probably one of the greatest pros that, you know, I've been around in probably my 9-plus seasons here in Tampa. He's ultimate pro.
And last thing on Winston, Dot, you talked about him. Dot, was there a moment when Winston was a rookie, maybe in OTAs or something, when you tried to beat his car into the parking lot, you couldn't do it, Dot? You get there 6:30, he's there 5:30. Was there a moment when you even thought to yourself, like, this kid's the real deal? This kid's the real deal. Was there a moment in his rookie year?
I don't know about his rookie year, but I know, I think it was 2016. You know, and one I'm going to say this about Winston, the greatest competitor I ever been around. So this guy's the greatest competitor I've ever been around. So, you know, but it was 2016, because, you know, his rookie year, I was on injured reserve a lot, so I didn't block for him only like 3 games that I really blocked for him. But 2016, I think we were playing Atlanta Falcons, and the whole play broke down.
Home or away?
I think it was home. And I think it was like fourth and
third and 18, I think it was.
Yeah. 3rd and 18, like that. And like, I mean like 3 guys on the offensive line like missed blocks, including me. And the guy just scrambled around, and I'm sitting there watching it. And he's like making guys misses. I'm sitting there watching. I'm realizing, dang, I'm supposed to be helping the guy. So I'm trying to go out there, and the guy just making everybody miss, and he just scrambled and just ran for 18 yards and pick up a first down. I said, man, this guy is unbelievable.
You know what's wild about that play? If you go back and look at the replay, he was looking at the down markers at the very end, and you see him, he's looking at the down marker, and he decides to lunge, and that gives him that extra yard for the first down. That's heads up. He's looking at the down marker while he's dodging all these guys.
But if you go watch it, you see 2 or 3 offensive linemen that should be blocking, watching too.
And you actually see two, Adrian Claiborne's one of them. You see 2 guys on the Falcons kind of watching too.
They put their hands in the air
and thought he was done.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like,
and they're
crazy.
Chasing him, and they thought he was done, and they're chasing him again, and everybody gave up except for him.
Yeah, he never gave up, man. That guy's
was a neat play.
Let's hear your history question.
I mean, I got to ask you the big question. Greg Schiano, why did he drive all these guys mental? You know, he seemed to, you know, I remember Daquan Bowers told me that basically, this is after Schiano left, that Schiano drove him nuts. He couldn't deal with it. Is there a wacky story from Greg Schiano or the rules, and what happened there?
Me personally, I mean, I have no problem with Schiano.
All I know is he won 7 games his first year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and then that was my first year starting in 2012. You know, he gave me my first opportunity to start.
Sure. Oh.
You know, and I, you know, we have no problem. He never had no bad history with me. I never had no bad history with him. But, I mean, the guy was like, you know, he was kind of a dictator. So he wanted everything perfect. And if you're not a guy that's willing to, like, you know, accept that, then you're going to have a problem with that. You know, me, I was willing to do my job. And whatever he asked me to do, I'm willing to do it. I got to be on time, be on time. So if you like somebody who like to bend the rules, then a guy who likes stuff perfect, he like you on time, he like it this way, like it this way. It was some, you know, some kind of silly stuff. Your toes got to be on the line. But at the end of the day, man, you know, if that's the way you want it, that's your leader, that's your general, you just got to do it. You know, you can't fight about it, because he's not gonna give in to it.
So if you're looking for a shortcut, that ain't going to work.
It's not going to work, man. You just got to know your personnel, like those saying, know your personnel. If that's what your leader wants, that's what he asking for you to do, then that's what you get paid to do, just do it. So, you know, I had no problem with it.
Sure.
What did you think of Raheem? I mean, was he put in a bad situation? Was he a little too young to be a head coach? What would you think? What did you think about Raheem?
A great guy, but I think that he had a young team, mm-hmm. and he was just too laid back with a young team.
Okay.
And I think that's what hurt.
Now, what do you think about this? I'm starting to come to think that Raheem sort of is not got the shaft. Is currently getting a shaft. What I mean by that is, at least us, I don't know how much you pay attention to outside media, outside Tampa Bay, but this drumbeat, Josh McDaniels was horrible at Denver. But Raheem, he had a 10-win season.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniels never had it. Raheem was at Washington. They went to the playoffs under Shanahan. Raheem was with Atlanta. They've got to a Super Bowl with Raheem on the staff. And I just wondered, like, why is... Is it just because McDaniels worked with Belichick that, you know, everybody, you know, they think he's the next Bill Walsh or something? Well, Raheem's got a better resume, I think, and you never hear him connected to any job.
He could be a better coach the second time around.
I always thought that he's going to get another chance. So, I mean, I still believe that he's going to get another chance. When it's going to be, I don't know. But he deserves another chance. He deserves a whole nother opportunity. Because I think now, you know, he can sit back, he can learn a lot, and I think he'll be a better coach than he was back then.
I still got to go back to Shiano. Was there one strange thing that stood out as far as a rule, like a team rule that he put in place? Was there one that really stands out in your mind that was just kind of funny?
The temperature and the hallway or anything?
the meals or anything like that?
Pasta.
The guy had a lot. He had a lot of stuff that was kind of like, oh, like you couldn't wear your hats, or you couldn't wear, you know, hats in the building or stuff like that. I mean, it was a lot of stuff. Me personally, I had no...
Sure, and I know a lot of the guys liked him. I remember Davin Joseph telling me, I think they were 0-8 or had just turned 1-8 that year, and he's like, man, Shiano, that guy is strong. He's the tough guy.
This is the second year.
He never folded, he's, you know, it just, he had a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, guys like Davin. Davin Jones is an old school, hard nosed type football player, so he's not a guy that's trying to bend no rules. So a guy like Davin gonna love him. But if you're a guy like, you know, if Daquan Ball's got a problem with it, it's because, you know, that he might not, a person that like rules that much. So he's trying to bend the rules. And all Shannon tried to do was push balls. He tried to push him to be better. And, you know, and the guy didn't want to, you know, accept, you know, what coach was trying to do to him. So obviously you're going to have a problem with something like that. But all I seen Shannon try to do was just push him to be better and better and better and better and better. And the guy just kind of resisted.
Doc, what about the... You know, I've been around this team a long time, even longer than you, Dot. And I've never been through a season like 2013, Shiano's second year. Everything that could have went wrong went wrong. Mercer is in the building. You're 0-8 or whatever. The Freeman's falling apart. That's a problem. You ever been through anything like that? Even the 2-14. I think 2013 was
11.
I think 2013 was worse in a lot of respects.
Not only was losing on the field, it was a lot of stuff going on off the field.
And everybody was criticizing the team. I mean, people that then never came to one buck, they're all weighing in.
Yeah, and it was a lot going on and stuff that, you know, Shiano couldn't even control, but he was taking the blame for it.
He took all the blame.
All the blame because, you know what I'm saying, he was a hard-nosed guy, and as soon as somebody was able to put a blame on him, you know, they were putting the blame on him. And a lot of people in the building, you know, had a problem with Shiano, you know, because he tried to control everything, from, you know, the cafeteria to upstairs to the equipment room. So it was so much stuff. Everybody was like, oh, man, when he was done, it was like a sense of fresh air. You know, that people like, I can breathe now.
But that happens with a first time head coach, right? Yeah. First time head coach.
I think he had every good intention. You know, he might have was trying a little too hard, but you know, he wanted stuff his way. You know, and he said, if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it my way and get it done my way. So if I'm gonna win, I'm gonna do it my way. If I lose, I'm gonna lose doing it my way. So, you know, that's kind of mentality he had.
Well, that first year, the running game was outstanding, right? Doug was tremendous.
Run game was good. I mean, we were winning, and everybody thought that hey, we might be on to something here. Then, you know, it went downhill.
Was Lovie Smith the kind of guy to sit you down one-on-one to try to get to know you a little bit? Did he call guys into his office, or was he pretty much disconnected from the offense?
Lovie,
did he try to get to know you personally? I know some coaches do, some don't.
Yeah. The only time I really sit down with Lovie was first when he came on to be the head coach. You know, he called me in, and we sat down, and we talked for about, you know, 30 minutes, and we got a chance to know each other. But, you know, after that, it was never really, you know, me and Lovie sitting down and having a conversation together. You know, other than the incident we had, you know, when I got hurt, you know. So, other than that, we never really had too much, you know, conversation dealing with each other.
What strikes you about him as a head coach, Lovie? He had a lot of success in Chicago, Doc.
Yeah. No, he had a real lot. I think, to me, I don't want, you know, get it too much with Lovie, but – you know, we had our incident, you know, in 2015. Sure. when I got hurt, you know, and I said some stuff that I probably shouldn't have said, you know, or to the media anyway, you know, I was wrong about that, but it just kind of, you know, struck me in the wrong way because, you know, and the guy, you know, told me some things and then he came back and said he didn't tell me some things, so, you know, that was kind of like, you know, a little hurtful to me, but I should have, you know, kept that to myself instead of going back to the media and saying in the media, and should have just talked to him, you know, one on one. But, you know, that was just something that me being, you know, foolish at the moment, let my pride get to me, you know, and that's what I did. But
now,
you know,
Don, when he won four more games from the year before, did you think he was coming back for a third year? Were you surprised?
I did. I really did think he was coming back. You know, I think we had finished out on a good note, and it wasn't really no signs of saying that, you know, he's done. You know, we had one bad year, and then he picked it up for another year, and so, you know, obviously you're thinking, well, you give him another year. It was a shocker, to say the least.
So my last one, I guess just going back to your rookie year, was there one guy, one person who you can feel maybe you never got to thank for – helping you stick in the league? In 2009, you walk in, you're a basketball player, they're calling you a project, nobody knows who you are. Who made it happen for you in 09?
When I first got here?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a lot of guys that helped me throughout the way. I always talk about a guy like Donald Penn, you know, who always tried to help me be a better football player, and a guy like Jeremy Trueblood, that always tried to help me. I watched that guy, you know, constantly. You know, he was the right target right there in front of me, so... You know, those guys, you know, really wanted to help me. They saw the potential in me, and just always pushed me. And they never let me get complacent and always try to help me get better and better. So, you know, Donald was a rock on that left side for a long time.
Durable.
Oh, doable. And they always tried to give me nuggets and pointers and took me up on his wings. And, you know, we talk a little time now, and y'all was like, man, that's my protege right there. I took him up under my wings and look at him, man, you know, going in 10 years strong, and I always make him happy every time we talk. But, he tried to help me out, you know, on tremendous. So, you know, always, you know, thankful for that guy.
That's a guy that takes losses hard, like you've been talking about. Now, you got to take losses hard, and Penn is like that.
Those hard-nosed football players, like back in the day when we had the Donald Penns and the Jeff Faynes and the Josephs and Davin Josephs and Jeremy Trueblood, man, those was hard-nosed, true football players that when you lost, they felt it. And they went out there and fought hard at practice every day. They fought hard in games every day. And you knew that you was into a battle. So, I mean, you kind of missed that old school mentality because the only guy I seen it, you know, recently that had it was on Gostel Chalice. And he I used to tell him all the time, I say, man, you the last of the dying of the old school breed, you know, that I've been around. You know, nine's like this new age mentality, and it's not the same. It's not the same.
Was Mankins like that, Doc?
Oh, Mankins was like that, too. Yeah. But, you know what I'm saying, he was gone, you know, a couple of last year, like 1 year after, like, he was gone, then Gaz was still there the next year. So I'm saying that, God, you know, you the last of that dying old school breed. because he was that old school. Guys took practice as serious as he took the game.
Wow.
Talking to Allie, talking to Donovan Smith, younger guys, Leonard Wester, mm-hmm. they worshipped him. They would talk about how he would, like, give them homework.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I want to ask you something here. You don't have to answer me now, but come back tomorrow with the answer about how you should do this, how you should do that, what your assignment should be. What, I mean, they, you know, Leonard Wester's from BFE, Iowa, and he just worshipped him.
Yeah.
And the fact that I know why he left, you know, just, you know, father time caught up with him, you know.
Yeah.
How much did you guys miss him?
We miss guys. And we wanted guys back, even if he wasn't going to come back and play. We want him back as a coach or assistant or something, just to come back and help us. I wanted guys back more than anything because he helped me out. You know, he pushed me in practice. There's some days that you don't want to go out there and practice, and he's part of, come on, Doc, work on your stuff. And I'm always trying to get me better as a football player. You know, and you watch the way he practiced. I mean, the guy had knee problems, and, you know, he was getting up in age, 32 years old, and you tell that he was hurting, but he never let it get to him, man. He come in, he do what he got to do. If he had to take his shot, he had to, you know, put his little cream on. Whatever he had to do, the guy fought through it, and the guy came out of practice every day and gave it everything he got.
Hard.
So he was a true, like, ultimate pro that you don't see that day. I mean, guys sit out of practice for nicks and bangs and ankles and shows, not all the little crazy stuff like that. But, you know,
I got
what I'm saying?
Stuffy nose.
All stuff like that. But back in the day, if you was a guy that missed practice over something crazy, the whole line would laugh you to scorn.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Imagine you missing practice, and you got Davin Joseph and Donald P and stuff like that. People are like, man, you just couldn't miss no practice over something, no little boo-boo crazy stuff.
You know, Dot, I never got to know Gosler because you probably noticed from a media perspective, he didn't look that comfortable talking to us. He'd look at me. He'd look at us funny. And I don't want to go in there. You know, I don't want to take my life in my hands.
It was a mean looking guy.
Maybe he got burned early. You never know. You never know. You know,
he wasn't a media guy. He was always telling me, man. He wasn't a media guy, man.
He was one of the maybe three guys I could add up over the years. Like, well, there's a small percentage of a chance he punches me in the face. At least I'll get some money out of it. At least I'll make some money. I could use the money.
Guys might would have did.
Air's got a stare like that too. Air's
not right.
You don't go into Air's unless you ask him. You better ask him a good question.
I think Air's all bark, no bite. Well, hey, he comes across looking mean, but he's a good dude.
Exactly. I love Robert, but hey, there's a lot of bark there, but he's not going to be too much bite.
Here's one for you since you brought up Donald Penn. And I love Donald Penn. Mm-hmm. I like him a lot. I'm going to needle him here.
Yeah.
As much as you respect Penn and as much of a great player he was still a fool for thinking he was a better basketball player than you, right?
Oh, he still think he's a better basketball player. That's the crazy thing about it. But the funny thing is a lot of guys in that locker room that think they can beat him in basketball, including Donald Penn, who was in the locker room but now out the locker room and still believe he can beat him in basketball. You call him right now, he still think that I can beat you, but he won't play, man. He won't play me, though.
I had Grimes wants to post you out, but
a lot of guys want to challenge me, but they won't play me, though. I even had guys told me he'll beat me in basketball. Come on, man.
Mike Evans
would be the only guy that give me really some challenge.
Sure.
He would be the only one that I feel that can do it.
Well, Evans told me, I asked him about that, and he thinks he can give you a game, but he said if he tries to go inside on you, it's all over.
So,
you're going to dominate him.
Mike would be the only one I give some respect to. Anybody else is just hot sauce.
If we can set up a pay-per-view, get you 10 grand, maybe when you retire, we'll get it done.
Hey, let's do it.
All right. Well, hey, great for Dot joining us here.
Thanks, much appreciated.
A little history lesson, and we'll talk to you soon, man.